10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're live from Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet on Strutley Fusion!
What's happening, everybody, and welcome to this, another episode of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. We are live, not really live, in Glasgow. It's a beautiful sunny day, and we are here to talk about the revival of British wrestling. I am your host this week, Stephen Wilson, and I am joined by a panel who's absolutely roasting and sniffling. No pointing elbows. David. First of all, to my right, he's been referred to as a chump and a jobber, but he's a champ in my eyes. It's Ross McLeod.
I love you, Stephen.
How's things, Ross?
I love it.
Good, good. And also joining us, he's been away for a very, very long time, it feels like, after with exams and getting power slammed and scoop slammed every way except form. It's James Murphy.
That sounded a wee bit dirty, but yeah.
It's good to be back.
Good, good. And also joining us, he's snuffling, but don't worry about it. He's still the modern day botcha rager. It's David Hockney.
Hello, hello. Yeah, we all have hay fever. Some of us do anyway, but I'll just put up with it.
Yes, it's just you.
It's just literally just you. Not yeah, David. Just other than that, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Nice to have the sunny weather out for a change.
And also joining us, it's the wrestling trainee, not the female wrestling trainee, as she's been called in the past. Sorry about that. It's Jamie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not bad.
Good, good. You're looking forward to being back?
We'll see if David sneezes on me.
I'm not going to sneeze on you. Relax.
And also we have the MVEP, it's Kwaku.
What about switches?
Yes, due to some technical issues, we are not live this week, but we are providing the usual fantastic content as always. So yeah, this is Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. If you're liking what you hear, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're on them all. We are at Suplex Retweet. We might have Snapchat, I don't know, because I don't use it.
We don't, but we do.
Should we?
We do.
Should we?
Yeah.
Also, do you not think MVEP sounds like a really bad tag team between MVP and EC3?
Yeah, I've never thought about that actually, because I think I was the one that coined the term actually, and it just
yeah, David,
that's
David,
why it's
David,
bad.
David came up with it, so
it's a better name than Y2AJ. At least we had the decency not to put it in a shop.
and then burn it. Yeah.
The next week. Yes, so we are talking about the British invasion sort of thing. So we'll be talking about British wrestling in the States, British wrestling's revival, anything to do with British wrestling. So if you're listening and you have some sort of input in the show, give us a message on any of those social media feeds that we've been talking about just there. That's Suplex Retweet on all of them. Right, so let's start off where British wrestling began very, very, very moons ago, and it was the initial rise of the UK wrestling scene. Now, for anybody who talks about wrestling, everybody knows, most people would refer to the old days of World of Sport back in the, I believe, David, you are a stats man, you're able to tell us. Can you tell us a bit more about the World of Sport era of wrestling?
Yeah, the World of Sport, it ran for about 20 years between 1965 and 1985, and it had this 45-minute wrestling segment from about 4 p.m. every time it was on air. And it was probably one of the more popular segments because it featured a big rivalry between two famous UK wrestlers, Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks.
Yes, the modern day living legends, I think, in professional wrestling, I think it's fair to say, in the UK anyway.
Sold out Wembley and wrestled for 2.5 minutes. That absolute barnburner.
Has anybody watched the matches between the two back in the day?
I've seen the 2.5 minute one and it felt a hell of a lot longer than you.
Yeah, it was actually, the World of Sport was like, it was the sort of main sports era before like grandstanding that came along, because they always played the results at the end as well.
Yeah, I'm right in saying that they had various different types of World of Sport, but the wrestling was one form of it. But
the wrestling was just like a 45-minute segment of like a four-hour show.
The football highlights afterwards.
Yeah, there was no day better rating than the FA Cup final. That's how popular British wrestling was in the 60s and 70s.
It was absolutely massive. I mean, before obviously we had Sky, Virgin, BT, obviously.
Back in the days, two full-time channels.
There's something definitely to be said for having wrestling on a free TV model, because that's what they do over in India. They get the WWE for free. Right. It's all Raw and SmackDown are on Indian just regular TV. So that's obviously got to do with his massive popularity over there, and just as it used to be, it's popular over here, stuff like that. Mm.
Interesting, it's on free over there. I mean, could you? It's hard to imagine having free wrestling anytime. I mean, obviously, yeah. We're used to having WWE on Sky. I mean, we'd always have talked in the past about the Aji family massive cable package.
I got cable package alone.
We had it on NTL back in the day, before that was...
That was Virgin, yeah.
Yeah, we had NTL. I don't remember what channel it was on, but I used to get up really early and watch SmackDown.
Did it not used to be on like Channel 4 as well, for a brief stint?
Yeah, May Young got her guns.
Yeah.
Also as well.
She got her massive cable package out.
Like two.
But then, you know, that caused a censorship row, and they were like, we can't show that, because it's obviously not family friendly.
Just on the subject of Big Daddy, he actually set the Guinness World Record for like biggest chest, I think it was like 64 inch chest.
I thought Mae Young had that.
On a male wrestler, yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you had to clarify that.
That's your statistic for the day, in case anybody you decided to twist that on me a bit.
So yeah, obviously you talked about giant haystacks and that type of thing. Anybody else got anything to talk about on those two? Obviously massive in terms of they helped pioneer the sport, I think it's fair to say. Obviously we've got two trainees in the house here, and James and Jamie. And Jamie, what's your thoughts on these two?
Meant
to the sport.
They meant a lot. Like, I know people, like my trainers especially, still refer to them as like their idols for back in the day. Mm-hmm. Especially when it was like back when it wasn't Americanized, so it was just mainly wrestling. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like entertaining the fans and stuff. So yeah, they were like really good ones to look at just for the sake of like wrestling, character, gimmicks, and like tag team wrestling as well. Mm.
Yeah, because obviously the gimmick of the tournament, I mean, I think they built the full world of sport around these two. They had other guys in there as well, with the likes of the top of Kendo Nagasaki.
he's like El Ligero now. El Ligero is from Leeds. Kendo Nagasaki was from like Manchester. His name was like Mick.
There was a whole big fight, obviously, the reveal of Kendo Nagasaki. I think I've seen this in a documentary, and it was this whole massive thing, and then after that reveal, it just kind of disappeared. There was a whole mystery of it. You don't get that nowadays in wrestling, you know. James, obviously, you're the other trainee in the room. What's your... Obviously, these two are living legends to a lot of people.
Yes. Their names that have been thrown around as the beginning of being able to see where like superstars, like a star status essentially. So like obviously with wrestling you had like these people who were like famous but only like to you. Mm-hmm. So like I know people that like talk about wrestling, and there's some people in Scotland who they'll say ICW, that's the one with Grado. They'll say it like that. Whereas like he's a name you can throw around and people like may understand it, but you know, those two guys are names that are like they started to help pioneer the whole bigger than a fan base sort of thing, that you can understand them in popular culture as well.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, do you think this is kind of where Vince McMahon kind of got his early approach to wrestling? I mean, obviously, these two are just big guys, you know. I mean, as David said many times in the past as well, Vince loves big sweaty men.
As Dave stole from someone else before, yes, Vince loves big sweaty men. We need to stop doing that. He's got to find them.
You're the set piece king, remember? But
I was set piece king before Walk Up.
I stole it from my true king.
We're going to get sued by Cultaholic. Sued, I tell you.
I can clarify that Ross was the set piece king before wrestling podcasts were a thing, you know.
My free kicks were from the beginning. Before I get fat.
Yeah. Let's pretend that you didn't say that. I was there, you can't hide that. But no, you think this was where Vince kind of got his early approach to wrestling with these character-wise?
I think an easy way to explain it would be like they use wrestling in a way to tell a really, really good story, which is similar to like the entertainment, but their wrestling itself was also like extremely technically proficient. Mm-hmm. So you had that. When it still sort of survives today, people do talk about like British wrestling has a reputation for being, some of it anyway, being more technically proficient. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can see has sort of influenced the UK scene still today as well.
I apologise, I wasn't listening. I was a bit busy looking up Kendo Nagasaki's real name. His real name's Peter Thornley from Stoke.
Giant Haystacks in particular had a bit of an impact in WCW as well, towards the end of his career, because In WCW, he went under the name of Loch Ness, very suitable for us Scottish folk. But he was part of the Dungeon of Doom.
It was as Scottish as Roddy Piper.
Yeah. But sadly, I don't think he got the momentum going for him in that feud, because see, that's when he was written off due to his cancer diagnosis. He died at 51, poor guy.
I mean, he was pretty much built as the heel for Big Daddy. That's why they brought Giant Haystacks in. I mean, it's kind of like...
They weren't just rivals as well. They were a tag team in joint promotions as well.
You have done your research.
Yeah.
As opposed to last week. the one which we've not currently got to air yet, which will come, by the way.
So yeah, that was embarrassing, but I've
well, essentially, Dave spent all half the show whenever you said, Dave, have you heard of the Fox?
We'll cut that. It's fine.
I mean, the big question, we'll just kind of throw this out there. I mean, if we didn't have this early day world of sport that time, would we have wrestling in this country?
Probably. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially with like the tribute shows. Like, I think that's especially a big one for Britain when everything went wrong, bringing that tribute shows over.
Yeah.
That made it
the
so
Scottish
popular.
Undertaker, the Scottish Rock,
Red Machine.
Plus, yeah, imagine.
It was 5'6".
Imagine an alternate world where there's a country that has no wrestling and Vince McMahon realises this. They salivating at the mouth. It's like, they've never had wrestling before. I can do whatever I want there, you know? He's frothing.
In true Vince McMahon fashion, it would be like, are you from there? No. You look kind of
you look like you're from Scotland.
Could you stand next to this Dulux colour chart?
Are you ginger? You're about to go to Scotland. Well, that's Seamus, David. Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah.
That's like whenever you watch Braveheart and it's, oh, to be sure, I'm a great Scotsman. Like, you sound it with me. Kerry Bear.
Basically, that's the thing, you know, you assume somebody's ginger, you assume they're from Scotland.
Yeah, Scottish.
No, again, it could be Irish as well.
Definitely
that's
not.
That's the point I was trying to make, yeah.
Definitely not the first thing I thought when I saw Seamus was like, yeah, Scotland! But, you know, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I wanted the Celtic cross and the green attire, not give it away.
But I think we would, anyway, back to the main question.
Yes, please.
We would still have wrestling in this show, like Jamie was saying, the tribute shows were a dark day in British wrestling, but, you know, World of Sport, it did die, and WWE was even more popular. So with the likes of WWE rising, you eventually would have got the British promotions weaseling in on the interest of wrestling.
It wasn't just those two either. You know, you had other opponents like in places like joint promotions, like those two went up against Mighty Joe Quinn from Canada, and of course, Fit Finlay. They were, I mean, John Quinn was obviously Canadian, but the example was Fit Finlay, that's what I was going to go for.
Obviously Canadian, not familiar with that. That's a great Canadian name.
They had a good cultural impact as well, because, you know, obviously Big Daddy was, I believe he was parodied a couple of times as sort of in comic books, because I was remember reading an old 80s edition of the Beano, and he was, well, a sort of parody figure of him was sort of put in, it was called Big Papa, and he was a babysitter for Dennis the Menace.
Big Papa?
Yeah, Big Papa.
Wrestling was mainstream media back at that point in time, but...
It just goes to show that there was also another cultural impact, not just in wrestling, but also other forms of entertainment.
But you've moved it on quite nicely, David, talking about some of the names you mentioned. Obviously, as World of Sport kind of moved away, obviously we didn't have that type of mainstay promotion at that point in the book, but there was a big influx of UK styles going over to the US, and we'll talk about some of them briefly as we go along here. We'll start with one of the guys you just mentioned there, Fit Finlay. I mean, a lot of people weren't familiar with Fit Finlay's work early days, because obviously he didn't come into WWE until very late on in his career, but can anybody want to talk a wee bit about Fit Finlay on this, even if it's just his WWE run?
I mean, he loves to fight.
He loves to fight, yeah. He carries a shillelagh, and he has a little leprechaun.
I bought a shillelagh when I went to Belfast purely because of Fit Finlay. So.
Oh, there you go.
he had an Irish clover on him, even though he was from Northern Ireland. Vince McMahon doesn't care.
Plus, I have heard that he has been quite influential backstage.
He was...
supposedly quite involved with like talent relations and stuff. I've heard that he was instrumental in getting like Paige back and everything and stuff like that. So he is obviously much more than his like on-screen presence. There's a lot of these wrestlers who, how do you put it, once they've moved on from their like main matches and that sort of thing, they start to do more backstage work, and like a lot of them have like undiscovered talent for like helping out wrestling as a business as opposed to as an entertainment scene.
Well, he is a veteran of the business as well, so he's more than capable of providing training and mentoring and stuff. So I think he plays an excellent backstage role very well.
The likes of Jamie Noble, Billy Kidman, the likes of the guys that played that kind of role backstage, and Finlay's in that gag.
The supposedly was it Tyson Kidd was producer on the amazing Rollins and Miz match. So you know
one memorable match on the card. I think it's Finlay.
Yeah.
I think when that got reviewed,
backlash match. Yeah.
Everyone just sort of goes, oh, that makes sense now. But yeah, Finlay was like, he's also like a really entertaining figure. Like. It was good to. I was always excited to see him in a Rumble. For example, like he's always done something good.
He was never going to be the main event guy when he got to WWE because he's aged at the time, but at the same time, he was always good as like the fourth guy in the match, the sixth guy in the Money in the Bank, the, you know, the final six in the Rumble, you know, because he was always put on a show. And he was just, like, watching as a young guy, he was just so unlikable.
Is Finlay also the only person to ever be disqualified from a Royal Rumble? Because
because he didn't wait for his number.
Yeah, he came out before his entry number was called. Yeah.
So that's a hell hornswoggle?
Yeah.
That is the worst thing he's ever done. He's a legend in the business, but his part in Hornswoggle being revealed.
Was it Hornswoggle his son, though?
No, it was. No, the storyline was he was meant to be Vince's son.
But he ended up being Finlay's son.
Yeah.
So he was Finlay's son.
Yeah, like.
Don't you try.
It was one. Don't use stat, man. It was his first day back. It was an example of Vince McMahon, just cultural stereotype. He's Irish. We've got a midget. Could we make him a leprechaun? By the way, you're stuck with a leprechaun, mate.
I mean, obviously, talking about British guy, we can't really talk about British wrestling in America without talking about the Bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie, Wembley, SummerSlam 92, just summed up how popular the Bulldog was.
No, that's true. Do you know, that's like... Well, my first stint with wrestling was actually in Butlins.
Right.
When I was 9 years old on a tribute show, and it was one of the guys acting basically that match over again. That's the only one I actually owned on video at the time, so that's like the thing I grew up with. Not because my mum just fancied him and wanted to be watching it. But I think that was like the peak for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he ever hit the heights again. I mean, main eventing, 80,000 people. I mean, we talk about how we crave a pay-per-view in the UK now, and to have 80,000 people in Wembley cheering and having a British guy in the main event against a guy like Bret Hart, obviously.
One of the best there ever will be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how... But he never really hit the heights. I mean, the same can be said about his tag team partner, Dynamite Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Issues outside the ring, which we will talk about. They were a great tag team, but obviously, David Boy Smith... Amazing wrestler.
I think he was just head and shoulders. But Dynamite Kid was a bit of a technical wrestler, but British Bulldog had the WWF at the time look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was the right person at the right time, because about 92 was when WWE started showing in the UK. And it's around about that time where they, like, it was back in the days of hometown heroes. And as soon as we had someone like, oh, he's British, right, we're going for him.
Yeah.
He was the right place, the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other examples was 1997, One Night Only in Birmingham. It was him and Shawn Michaels main eventing for the European Championship. So the WWF Championship was actually second to last that night.
I got that.
So yeah, British Bulldog was going in as the defending champion, but I think Shawn Michaels won that match by submission. And it generated quite a negative reaction from the crowd, obviously understandable because HBK was playing the heel part a bit. But the crowd, I think he still got a decent pop as a result. But so it just goes to show that, you know, British Bulldog was main event material, I just don't think he got his dues at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was one of the ones as well. I've watched that match about 1,000 times, that Shawn Michaels match, because it was in a VHS thing you could free in the paper. It was like Wild in the UK, and it was like four different matches for like Rebellion and Insurrection or that, and then that was the main event.
How much do you remember of the Bulldog's comeback in the late
90s? Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
At this point, he was just, he had too many personal demons. It wasn't interested, he was there for the paycheck. You know, he'd obviously been affected by the fact that, you know, remember this time Bret Hart had started going into depression, Owen Hart had recently died. And he was just the same with the company as well, they just didn't use him. So they had a European title run that he lost to Val Venus. And the most memorable thing about him was the Rock bombed him into dog food.
I love how you have to get the Rock reference in
there. I'd sure love it. No, that was a natural one. Later on I was going to go, the Rock once came to Britain.
This literally is Rock and Roll Bingo now.
he was part of the six-pack challenge, Unforgiven, that year, replaced Undertaker.
Yeah, and that was like the height of his return. And they took away his music. It was cheesy, but it was good, and it was just a dog barking. It just got annoying.
I mean, also we talk about British wrestlers. I mean, current day as well. I mean, the epitome of British wrestling now is he is a legend in general. It's the NXT general manager William Regal.
Oh, I hated him as a kid as well. Such a good heel.
There was something about his music that was very. Mm-hmm. It's kind of made you hate. Yeah, it does make you hate him a lot. It's sort of like so almost oppressive and horrible.
What's his current theme?
He's one in 2000.
I don't want to use his I think he still uses it.
Again, it's a very sort of like fit for a king almost, really. Yeah, his first one was like when you see in films, it's like posh women eating afternoon tea.
What?
That's sort of thing.
Baroque music, you'd really call it.
Yes, it's that sort of music there. That was his first one, and it was just his stupid. He thought people liked him. He came out waving to the crowd like the Queen. He was a European ambassador. He was a European champion. And he was such a knob. He was great.
there's a great story about him when he was in WCW with Goldberg.
Yeah.
And he no-sold Goldberg something awful.
Yeah, he ran.
And that kind of led to him getting released from WCW. There was also near the beginning of the Attitude Era where he was the working man as well.
Eric Bischoff actually recently did an Ask Me Anything on the internet, and he himself has said that had nothing to do with William Regal's firing.
Aye.
But it did make Goldberg look bad, which angered people, but apparently he was getting sacked before that.
Yeah, he did.
So that's an interesting thing.
He had a problem with drinking drugs at the time.
His drug addiction was sort of mid to late 90s and stuff, but before that, you know, he had a stint in All Star Wrestling under his original name, Steven Regal.
That's why he was when
Steve Regal,
The thing is, well, when he won the King of the Ring in WWE as well, he was supposedly going to get a world title run, or he was going to be pushed for a number one contender for the world title, and obviously that's when he had the violation, you know.
But, yeah.
Is he up there as one of the best to have ever won the belt?
Absolutely. Hands down. I mean, he's been in the tag team championship reign, he's been WCW television champion, multiple time intercontinental European champion. I mean, this man's just about done all, and he's former King of the Ring.
There was actually, when I was talking about hating as a kid, there was a SmackDown in a Raw, it was 2 weeks in a row, and I absolutely hated him. A Rock, sorry, here. Peace belt.
Here we go.
The Rock beaten by DQ, and me not realising that DQ means you don't get the title. He was still walking about all smug. I'm still the champion. And then on Raw, the next week, they had four number one contenders matches that would lead to a fatal four-way, and it was him and Steve Austin. You're like, right, Steve Austin's going to absolutely leather him. And he beat Steve Austin through Triple H's help, and it was just like, I hate him so much. I have never hated, other than my bark gun of a brother, I have never hated another human being so much.
You talk about obviously heel moves. I mean, there's not many better heel moves than the power of the punch.
Oh, that was great. That was great.
But also, now looking present day, the influence that he's got on the current crop of NXT guys.
Yeah.
It just shows how big he is in the business. I mean, him and also his fellow Brit, Robbie Brookside.
Yeah.
As well, helping influence. Dave's probably got 15 million stats on Robbie Brookside.
No, I just know their tag team is called the Golden Boys.
Okay.
I don't have stats on that, but doing the Brookside shuffle for like 6 minutes in a row hurts a bit.
That is true.
That's not fun. But yeah.
I think
also can't forget his tag team, the Blue Bloods, as well. In WCW.
Probably Triple H.
Yep, and then Bobby Eaton.
Interesting. So Dave is brushed up on his stats because I told him his stats have been rotten. Quack.
Something I do like that I heard recently is that William Regal still comes to the UK to get to promotions, and he actually scouts out talent.
He's the man over here for the.
Exactly.
Trust him over here, I think.
And it's brilliant. Like when Wolfgang at a recent interview said that William Regal was actually at one of the ICW shows, and this was a few weeks before he got the call to basically say you're being recruited to the UK Championship. So he was actually there scouting people. So it's still good to see they still got that influence that brings. And your K talent to the NXT and so on.
Hidden gem of a real William Regal match is, I think it's the last match ever of Florida Championship Wrestling before it became NXT. He had a match with Dean Ambrose,
he puts Dean Ambrose over so much. That was before Dean Ambrose was in the Shield, obviously, before that.
But yeah.
You need to go, I think you can probably find this on YouTube, William Regal.
This was Dean 2012 Ambrose. As well, because, you know, the newly reformatted NXT, that's the year it came in.
Yeah, it was literally the last FCW taping. It's a cracker of a match, William Regal.
There's a John Cena story about William Regal where he didn't have proper ring gear. He'd like volleyball shorts and hockey boots on, you know, and basketball boots on, and he asked them backstage, people ask William Regal, he'll tell you what to do. And he says to William Regal, what can I do? He goes, well lad, if you get proper gear, at least you'll look like a wrestler. And just left him standing there.
He's so well spoken as well, like, and the way he really sort of really exerts his presence over somebody, he talks down to them, calling them sunshine and stuff. I love it when he does that.
He's promo against Triple H. Went into Triple H battle, Eugene.
Yes.
With an absolutely amazing promo.
He's got a great backstage promo right there. A few weeks ago before the NXT takeover, Quack will probably know this, but Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Dream just goes up to him, Mr. Regal, you're looking well. And he's like, I know.
some guy.
We're talking outside of WWE as well in the US. One of the best feuds ever in America outside of WWE. He's got a Brit as well, in my opinion. It's Daniel Bryan as Daniel Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness.
In Ring of Honor, yeah.
Ring of Honor, I mean, obviously, we might not be as familiar with Nigel McGuinness in that, but that guy could go.
Yeah, I've seen some of the Daniel Bryan matches. He's absolutely amazing. It was a shame as well. He went to TNA.
Yes.
As Desmond Wolfe. Mm-hmm. And they just completely ruined him.
He got diagnosed, I think.
It's Hep C, isn't it?
Yeah, because Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah, I remember that.
He should be running the business.
It's the kind of thing you can't really perform with, due to the fact that just accidentally you can transmit these things. Like,
there was an incident with
Bob Orton. Bob Orton and
Armageddon 2005. They tell Indy that he had that, and he was bleeding the match, and Undertaker could have caught it. So. Mm-hmm.
And then, but you know. It's good to see that he's found success as a commentator, and he is really, really good.
Yeah.
Oh, he's him and Marlon Ronaldo.
I would say those two and Corey Graves are probably the best color commentators in the WWE. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Michael Cole was great when they did the UK Championship.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really nice to hear these guys, and like obviously Nigel McGuinness in particular during the UK scene brought out a lot of life and like authenticity.
Yeah, it was good as well. He's also doing 205 Live as well, which is really good as well. Anybody else get any more about this kind of era of UK stars in the US?
A hidden gem of a match. Nigel McGuinness and TNA's Desmond Wolfe against Kurt Angle.
Yeah, his first match with Kurt Angle.
And it was absolutely... It was meant to be going over further down the line, because he was number... They'd done the TNA Top 10 long before SmackDown stole it. And TNA actually done something with it. And Kurt Angle basically... challenged everyone in the top 10, he worked his way down the list, and originally it was meant to give Kurt Angle time off. Desmond Wolfe would beat him at the first hurdle, and then they just decided, let's just scrap that.
He was meant to be in the Fortune as well.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's stable in TNA as well, but he obviously missed the cut on that one. Anybody else get any more on the UK guys in the US at this point in time?
Not for me, no.
Okay, so obviously that was the main period of that time. Obviously with a spell, we didn't get as many UK guys over there, but obviously in the last 10-15 years, as we know from being Scottish,
mm-hmm.
the UK wrestling scene has had a rebirth, I think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
With so many promotions going about, there's so much good things going about on the UK scene. James, what's your thoughts on the rebirth from the UK scene, obviously?
I can't go on my news feed on Facebook without seeing a wrestling event being shared. It's like, come down to Maryhill, let's go to Larbert, stuff like that, and I'm like, so much wrestling.
Yeah.
If you tried to go to it all, you would eventually just, your car would break down or you'd go a bit mental. Mm-hmm. But like, it's been interesting because wrestling was one of these things I dropped out of watching when I entered high school, roughly. And then it came about, I moved in with my current flatmate Kyle, and he was watching wrestling, and I was like, oh, I've not seen wrestling in ages, like, what's this, who are these guys? Started watching it, and I was like, oh, this is quite cool. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to... The first actual ICW event I went to was Fear and Loathing when Grado won the title off Truth.
Fear and Loathing.
Yep. That was the first ever ICW event I went to.
Well, that's the favorite.
Which is also my favorite one.
It's my favorite moment I witnessed live.
Yeah.
As a wrestling fan, I think it's fair to say.
But it's interesting because people don't talk about wrestling the way they used to. Wrestling people, the first thing, if someone asks them what you're doing, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do wrestling training. They're like, oh, sometimes they'll say, isn't that fake? But then they'll also say, oh, isn't that ICW? Isn't that what Grado does? Because they know from like TV or like Pantos and that. And then it's not got as much of a just for children or in America just for rednecks kind of following now. And in it's really interesting to see how it's being accepted more and more as like a good night out. Almost how, sorry, it's a bad comparison, but I'm talking about in terms of popularity here, how darts had a revival.
Oh yeah, if you think about it, darts is amazing.
Darts has stolen basically everything from fair wrestling, the stupid clothing,
exactly,
the outlandish hairstyles, the stunning. Have you ever seen a darts player's wife? Oh, they're stunning.
but that's where it comes from. They're just like, hey, maybe it is fun to go have a pint, stand in the garage, and watch guys do some really entertaining stuff.
Well, on that note, I'll go across to Dave for me.
I wasn't speaking there for quite a while. I need to start talking now.
Dave, I mean, the UK scene in wrestling. Yeah. What's your thoughts on it? I mean, most people will know you're the big Walk Culture fan.
Yeah.
I think that's the only relevance you have to UK wrestling.
Not entirely true. I mean, I've been to a few ICW events. I remember my first one was Spaceballs in 2014. That was Drew's comeback match. Which is,
for people who know Dave, Dave's appearances at ICW shows have got some form of WWE relation to it.
Yep.
He was there for Drew's first match back. He was there to see the UK title defended at the ABC.
Shugs, who's party, that's probably, and you know, I was there both nights. I'd have to say that was probably one of the best moments when I saw BT Gunn become Triple Crown champion, winning the Zero G Championship, and Kenny Williams. That the pop that when he made the submission was probably one of the it was one of the loudest I've heard like in a live show.
Last year, that was when Ross, what
were
you gonna say?
Yeah, I can't really slag Dave about going to only WWE related ICW shows, because up until recently, when I started going more regularly, I only went to Fear and Loathing every year. I went to the past 3 Fear and Loathings, and the only other show I went to before that had Sabu and Colt Cabana on it. They were just like, oh, CM Punk mentioned him once. I've seen half a Ring of Honor match, aren't I, Andy? Let's go to ICW in Edinburgh. But ICW recently, I've really been enjoying, just for some fact. It's the first time I've been back properly. And it, like James was saying, it's a great night out. Like, there was a squad of us last time. Like, there was 18 of us the other night, I think.
Oh, it was tons. He sleeps with Blitz Retweet at pretty much all ICW shows. Come find us.
No, we've always got some kind of representative.
We will have at least one of us being there.
Usually,
you can
usually hear
quacking. He's a prick. It's not just ICW as well, there's also SWA, which I think is much more family friendly because it's held in.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the ICW rosters featured on sort of those shows. Sometimes they do cross branding with other promotions such as Progress and even get former WWE stars in there as well. Like Ryback was the most recent one against Grado. I think that'd be a big draw in itself for
Jack Chester,
not just casual WWE fans, but also, you know, obviously because Grado was a big draw in himself, not just because of the wrestling, but because of his associations with Panto and TV and stuff.
Jamie, how accurate was Dave there?
Quite.
Dave's done well in this one. I'm not going
to
slag
him. I was meant to be helping that show, and I just remember hearing about it, going like, "How was the match?" And it was like, "Can we really count it a match?" Like, nothing actually happened till afterwards. Like. Pretty sure he got beat with him like the first minute. But then, you know, if you get the ticket money, then you can do whatever you want, I guess.
I mean, the thing you're seeing with the UK is that it's kind of got that feel that the US had years ago. With the kind of, everybody's got their, it's kind of territory-like base now.
It is kind of territory.
I mean, we've got the examples, we've got ICW in Glasgow, and we've also got all the smaller ones around the mouth that are more prominent than everybody else.
Discoveries,
Edinburgh.
TBW's, Swearingen, roughly.
Everywhere. Larbuck. Everywhere apart from Glasgow.
Yeah, that's actually a really good move on PBW's part, because obviously people not from Glasgow would get sick of travelling constantly to ICW to SWA, so PBW have basically seen a gap in the market and went, you know what, we're going to go everywhere that isn't wrestling.
There you go, Ross, you're getting popped up.
Well, I don't know if anybody's actually been to a Defiant wrestling show yet, which was actually established in mid-2016 as WCPW.
That's your castle country. They're
in England.
We just go there when it's
like. Yeah, they're much more Newcastle based, but they've done shows in London as well. So
I've actually heard that it is like a great night out. Obviously, they did have the YouTube money behind us could bring over big stars like Dale Yoker and Cody Rhodes. But they have done a lot of, like, Gabriel Kidd, Prince Amin, Martin Kirby, guys who were on the UK scene that weren't exactly like the level of grade one on that, and have became big stars throughout that.
The best moment, I think, from, I don't know if it was still What Culture Wrestling at this point in time, was when Martin Kirby won the, I think it was a What Culture World title.
In
a Rumble match, and the crowd went absolutely crazy.
Martin Kirby was very popular with that crowd, so I think that was a long time coming.
It was the first time he'd hit his, like, we talk about, obviously, at times, finishers either being overused.
He'd never hit that move before.
It was always like a joke move, and then you see him hesitating, like, I'm actually going to hit this, and then he hits it, and it's a shot in his face as well that makes the moment the crowd absolutely lose it.
Yeah.
You're talking about territory as well, obviously. You've got the England as well, not just Scotland. Defiance, obviously, there. You've got Progress in London.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Progress will do Wembley Arena this year.
Progress are the biggest UK. Probably aren't they? They're trying.
I think so, is it
Progress or ICW?
I mean, the best example is Progress or this.
I think Progress looks bigger for the simple fact that Triple H has just cherry picked all their talent, which actually works more in ICW's favour, because last time they only took Wolfgang, this time they've only taken Joe Coffey and Kenny Williams.
If you look at the guys who were in the SSS tournament recently, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bates, all those type of guys. I mean, Cassius Ohno was in the final here against a guy we'll talk about later on, Zack Sabre Jr.
So, just saying, obviously, it does work to ICW's favour for the simple fact that they still get their big draws. Like, Progress have, basically, Progress can't run shows on big four weekends anymore for the simple fact that WWE might want them to sit in the crowd and take over.
I think WWE's the same.
They've changed them.
Baramania was designed as an alternative to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but at the same time, that is a smart business move out with the UK tour for the simple fact that, you know, a lot of people will go, oh, well, I'll take the Monday off, but I'll work the Sunday so I can see WrestleMania. So they wouldn't have time to go to ICW.
No, to be fair, I miss those nights out where you go to Baramania, go straight to Catty, WrestleMania would be on the screen.
Yeah,
I know it is obviously a shame for people who did do them, but obviously it does mean that more people can actually do both now.
Mm-hmm. It was good when the square go and the Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you cannot have over too much Rumble.
Yeah.
Unless it's the greatest Royal Rumble.
Which was
that was a lot of Rumble.
Excuse me, did we not see the debut of Dan Mather? I mean, what a fight he put up.
And that's Sumo Gang.
Because if you squint, he might look like Yokozuna. I'm pretty sure he stood next to a relative of Yokozuna's once. I put him in there.
There was a big controversy over that, because, like, they were asking for all these people. Apparently they were asking for Hulk Hogan, which actually itself opened up conversations with them talking to Hulk Hogan again. Because the Saudi people wanted Hulk Hogan.
They were asking for Ultimate Warrior.
Asked for Ultimate Warrior,
Yokozuna. But did the Saudi government not realise that those two are both dead?
No, because they think they're like characters.
I mean, the great thing as well,
we could have done a fake game and fake.
Fake
Yokozuna.
back on the subject of the Reebok in the UK. One advantage, I think, as well, I think, is having a scene over here has brought back the kind of medium. I mean, we're obviously sitting here doing a podcast, but we talk about the likes of, we've got our friend Neil Dawkins at the Mirror, doing so much coverage down there. I mean, the wrestlers are getting that coverage because it seems so good. In terms of podcasts, you've got others, you've got the likes of Inside the Ropes, Cultaholic. Those type of guys are massive. I mean, we had Jericho over here.
Yeah. Jericho was here last night.
Exactly. I mean, the thought of, I mean,
not here, but in Glasgow, yeah.
Got him on the podcast.
Don't get too excited, listeners. He wasn't with us.
Jamie and Stacey and Sarah will vouch for us. Jericho was with us. He loves a wee hot thing.
Loves a wee bit glass of Bucky.
And you've also, David Ken touched on the likes of Ryback and that coming over here. I mean, having the scene back there has kind of helped. I mean, I think a lot of people lost a lot of love for wrestling in the mid-2000s, where we had John Cena Mania running well. Do you think the UK scene getting back to that would help most of us get back in love with wrestling? I mean, James obviously said it would feel moving.
It was ICW that got me watching wrestling again. I got told about it, and my first live wrestling event was Square Go 2015, and it was that got me back to watching wrestling, really, after like a 6-7 year hiatus, if you want to call it for one. Mm-hmm. So
there's something about, so when I watch, the main way I get my wrestling nowadays is I don't have a subscription to like any on demand, but I do have access to the network and stuff like that. So I will occasionally watch NXT and stuff like that. Mm. But eventually you do get a bit tired of it. But every time I go and watch a live show, I'm like getting way more interested in it. Like there's almost, it's almost, I don't want to say the word, it's not like a drug, but like it's a, there's like an increase and then like a slow drop off period. Yeah. So if I've not gone to training or I've not seen wrestling in a while, you start to forget about it, but then after you've seen it or done it, you're just, it enters your mind a lot and you're like, I'm going to go rewatch King of the Ring, like something, it just enters your mind, I'm going to go do that.
Don't rewatch King of the Ring.
ICW is one of the main reasons that I actually started loving wrestling again. It's the main reason I actually started doing it as well.
See, like, I never stopped watching wrestling, like, obviously. I didn't get into it until I was, like, a bit older, but I'd always watch, like, the highlights on Sky Sports Sunday afternoon. But I remember it was, like, you obviously had Insane Fight Club on BBC, but you also had the YouTube documentaries like Dallas and Grado would do, and you had the whole Get Grado Booked on ICW.
Brilliant. I love that.
And like that's it. My first show that I was actually old enough to go to was the first Baromania, and I had no clue how half these guys were. You had like first Lionheart and Polo match, you had like Damo and Drew, and I was like, well, obviously you know who Drew was, but it was like, and I was just in love with it, like every single match, like, it just kept getting better, and I've just not looked back since then.
Could we maybe not mention Just Justice on this podcast after the slate that I took the other night?
You just did.
So far, we've talked about the World of Sport days, early days, the original influx of the UK stars in the US, and the rebirth of the UK scene, the likes of Progress and ICW. Now, let's take a trip over to Japan and talk about the influx of UK talent over there.
I've not got my passport on me.
Sorry, Dave's got a tent.
Well, Japan's still a place to visit, but I'll put that on my list.
Right.
To kick this off, do you have any stats for us regarding this, Dave?
On Japan, or just in general?
In general. On Japan, though.
Not on Japan, no, sorry.
I was hoping for a good lead in.
Dave, can you tell us about some of these UK stars in Japan?
Yeah, there's a few of them.
That's what I meant! I didn't mean about the country! No! I wanted stats about Japan, I go on Wikipedia, I meant wrestling.
Right, bullet. So, I've only watched New Japan a couple of times, but some of the guys mentioned this. We've got Zack Sabre Jr., we've got Marty Skrull, the villain, and of course, Will Ospreay.
Yes, David read the ones that were on the notes.
I watched them at Wrestle Kingdom, and they, I think the fatal four-way between Marty Skrull, Will Ospreay, Naito, and
Kushida.
Naito wasn't in the match then.
No, sorry.
Let's move on.
The fatal four-way at Wrestle Kingdom 12, that's match of the night.
Let's start with Zack Sabre Jr. We know him all quite a lot from his time in the UK Cruiserweight Classic. He also won this
promo ever. Harry Potter isn't the only wizard from Britain. My God.
Yeah, Merlin is as well. Moving on.
But he also won the SSS 16 recently at Progress. He's contended for the New Japan, the IWGP World Championship recently. What's our thoughts on Zack Sabre Jr., guys?
Good wrestler.
Best pals with Jeremy Corbyn as well. Have you seen that, Dr. Witt?
What?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He hates the Tories.
No, he's very pro-Labour, but he was also at rallies with Jeremy Corbyn.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's
We call him Zack.
Well, his Twitter description, he does have socialist, and yeah, he's very politically minded, and he's very big on Labour.
So that's a USA push then for him then. Socialist!
But man, that man can stretch a guy. I mean, submission specialist. He beat so many of the Japan stars recently by submission, made them all tap out. I mean,
which in Japan is actually a much bigger deal than it is in other promotions.
Yeah.
Dave also mentioned Matt Skrull,
the villain.
Party Marty.
You know, for the recent. This is shameful, but I forgot the name of what's New Japan's biggest event.
Wrestle Kingdom Red.
There's a good photo of him backstage making the costume.
Yeah.
He's tinkering with it, and he makes it go and stuff. And he's talking about he loves his gran. Isn't that sweet? And the funniest thing I've ever seen is when he was on Take Me Out.
We've talked about him
and
Take Me Out in the past.
Yeah.
We talked about it during the quiz on the charity special.
I like how much of a big deal he is now, and it's just another one he had to the long list of people that TNA let go during the Hulk Hogan era because they were they were too short or they weren't good enough at the time. Like, surely, like, for all WWE's failings at the time, if they'll not sure what to do with somebody, they'll put them in NXT.
Or they'll put them in a tag team.
Or they'll put them in a tag team, yeah. Or maybe say, hey, you know what, come off TV for a couple of weeks and we'll maybe discuss with the characters for
you. Well, you talked about, obviously, he was part of Marty Scott, originally his original gimmick. He was on Take Me Out. He was the host of Wrestle Talk TV. Yep. Yes, David, you now know this. Thank you very much. My quiz has taught you something. But it's when he became the villain.
Yeah.
It really came into his own. I remember when he first came on ICW as a villain.
So his breakout role.
Oh, he's amazing. Are we all Marty fans here?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm not a Marty fan. Kwaku obviously played his theme on the keyboards.
Piano.
Piano, keyboard.
It's a ball. Piano. Thank you.
Kwaku's an elegant man.
He's a classy man.
Same thing Pete Dunne does, there's something, and this is again something that you see more Japan and British guys doing, joint manipulation, so with fingers and bits of that, so the funny thing is, and there's like an almanac out there somewhere of like wrestling rules, and a lot of promotions, joint manipulation is meant to be illegal, but you know, it's so good, he gets away with it anyway, like, it doesn't really matter.
I love when he's about to hit a chicken wing, and he actually goes, CHICKEN WING!
CHICKEN WING! He's like Kenny Williams shouting, CROSSFIT! When he does a crossbody.
The other guy I'm going down here, well, Osprey, Jamie, this guy can defy that.
Yeah, that makes me kind of sad, like, see when you just watch them, and like, fair, it works for some people, like, you get people that don't like the gymnastics side and all the flippy stuff, but it's still...
Good luck.
It's like his match with Ricochet as well. I mean, that was... I think Meltzer gave it a proper hammering because...
That was Vader.
Oh, was it Vader?
Vader and Jim Cornette.
Back to Jamie.
Like, people will be like... But at the same time, people are like, well, wrestling's the same way, just because there's this new era of it. But to anybody that can do it, then I'm much respect for them because I can't even do a cartwheel.
People that hate on flippy things are people that can't do it themselves.
That's basically true, yeah. But
can we just not have any more Spanish flies on the apron?
Undeniably a fantastic performer, but I don't lean on the side of hating flippy stuff. There are points where it becomes redundant and it almost looks like it's making fun of itself. He's so talented at it, it doesn't really look like that. I would say the Young Bucks are more in danger of that than him.
Oh, yeah,
he pulls out a lot of stuff that actually makes you go, well, I'm never trying that. Mm-hmm. Whereas after seeing like 10th Paddy the drop kick, I'm like, can you stop, please, Young Bucks?
You've got to stop. He's matching with Kushida. He puts on some great series with Kushida.
He's also getting great matches with Marty Scurll, who, you know, obviously that was a really good story when eventually he won the Fatal 4-Way. It was always like the storyline going in was three things certain in life, death, taxes, and Scurll beats Osprey because he beat him for the junior championship, he beat him for the Ring of Honor
title. They had a really good chemistry in that match.
And he also had a match with Drew Galloway in WCPW as well, where he showed he wasn't just a flippy guy, he was a guy who could.
He put heel on WCPW.
Yeah, but he wasn't like the flippy guy in that, he was fine from under, you know, I think it was Zach Gibson. He fought him in the World Cup qualifiers for WCPW as well, and again that was another non-flippy match. It was just a technical match.
I mean, he's arguably got one of the greatest feuds in progress history with Jimmy Havoc, which they're probably going to redo a match with. I think it's going to be a death match at Wembley Arena, which sounds great as well. Not just talking about male wrestlers, we are going to talk about female wrestlers as well. We talk about two female wrestlers in particular who, again, we hope get well soon after what happened the recent weekend. We're talking about Viper and Sami Zayn. Viper is killing it in Japan.
Yeah. Currently Stardom champion.
Stardom champion. Hopefully the two of them has injuries, I'm not seriously, but...
Sami Zayn's out for
months.
She's out for months.
She's out quite well. But it's amazing how Viper, even Kaylee Ray, are over there regularly. I think they spent all January in Japan.
Recently went over to Europe as well.
Viper was in France as well,
that
was taking over the world.
They're tearing it up.
Kaylee, both in the
Mayo Classic.
What do they call it, the Cruiserweight Classic? There's too many tournaments.
Viper's a Cruiserweight?
But it's amazing, I mean, you think, of all these, of these type three we talk about, who's the one that's really the flag bearer? Or is there really a flag bearer? Should they all be seen on equal ground?
I think they should all be seen on equal ground because obviously they're both different characters, they're all different characters, they're all different styles of wrestling as well. Again, you know, they just have different representation in different ways, and I think that's what makes them all really stand out in their own right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it is. Yeah, no, that's really cool how they've all got a different niche. No one's stepping on anyone's toes. All uh-huh. the different characters, it's really interesting.
The Kaylee Ray's was sort of the filthy generation, Vipers just tearing it up like nobody's business. And
then with the guys, you've got Zack Sabre Jr., Submission, yeah. Highline, there's the villain. But what's going to happen once they keep getting more popular and people are going to have to cross over? Are they going to be fighting on home turf and away? Or?
James, I was really hoping Dave was nearly about to explain Sammy Jane.
You say James style.
I was just like, yeah.
That's my bad.
No, you're fine.
Something as well about Osprey, obviously we were talking about the flippy stuff. What did people think a match that, you know, New Japan hadn't really had the explosion in popularity had yet, when he fought Ricochet in the Best of the Super Juniors, what did people like Vader and Jim Cornette expect when they criticised that? Because no, everybody likes the same things you like, so it was a case of any publicity is good publicity, and that led to, you know, multiple matches with the two of them and promotions all over the world. That led to, you know, a rise in popularity for Will Ospreay and, you know, the sort of fluffy stuff. You know, it's just, it beggars belief, so it's just the criticism of Ospreay just for the simple fact that he done some flips.
And it's well known as well that WWE one. Quite high on Osprey and Scarlett as well. Yeah. So, moving away from Japan, we kind of obviously the US. Obviously, we talked earlier on the show how there was a lot of influx of UK guys in the US, and round about this recent years as well, they've started coming back into it as well. And the first major ones that did it was TNA, with TNA British Boot Camp, which was regular Sunday night viewing on Challenge for anybody, also myself. But we talked about this before the show. What did the boot camp? Was that a good sign that
the
division was getting taken seriously in the UK?
It was, but at the same time, they didn't do anything with it. It was a typical TNA thing.
I think it gave exposure to the people that weren't going to go anywhere. I watched the Fight Club documentary at that point, and then switching over and you see Kaylee Ray and TNA, and you're like, oh my god, this is obviously a big deal.
It's good because you kind of seen some of the people that you watched at shows, and it was they were getting in there. It was I remember Noam Dar was the one I remember quite a bit, and it wasn't high up in the ICW roster, it was kind of mid-card, but in the UK it wasn't. I heard a lot of the people saying Noam Dar might be favourite to win this tournament, and I'm like, oh, he's Scotch, I'm gonna watch this. And there was a lot of names in there who you maybe didn't know if you weren't as familiar with the scene.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, it was round about the time, after I started watching ICW, and they weren't as familiar to me, but now they're all household names. Obviously, there was the winner of TNA Boot Camp 2, Mark Andrews. I remember watching it thinking, how has Mark Andrews won this tournament? But then now, about 300 years later, you're like, Mark Andrews is one of the best in Britain.
Before when I saw him, I thought I was really scared of Vantage Brown. You just looked at him and he was like, aye, that's a big guy, and now I've seen him at shows and he's actually quite lovely. Not scary at all.
He's a crack. The final three, I thought he should have won it.
Oh, definitely. Personally. Even I remember feeling that way.
Was it Mark Andrews who recently had a brutal match?
Was it Gulak when you talk about WWE or outside?
Maybe talking about WWE. I'm getting confused, but he's definitely one of the names that pops up a lot now in terms of people getting more exposure through cross brand promotions.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think is interesting, because whether or not you're a big name in your home promotion, if you get picked up outside of that, that's somehow a much bigger deal. And these places in the UK are now being used almost as sort of not talent training grounds or anything, but people who are smaller at home are bigger elsewhere. I'm not sure whether that's to do with their look or their talent or.
I mean, the thing as well about the boot camp as well, it kind of outlined, it was the first real sign that Grado could have been a star in the industry. I mean, the second series especially, while he was in it, a lot of it was centred around him.
Him and Austin.
Yeah, there was the wrestling, the competition wrestling side, and then there was the side angle with Grado. Obviously, getting kicked off it, getting back on it. He made the final six. Should he have made the final six? Compared to some of the other guys, it's questionable from a wrestling point of view, from a character point of view.
I think it was his bit. It was as scripted as so tough enough in that. It was a simple case that they did have guys who were star, but at the same time, Grado had made a niche for himself in Scotland, with a pre-entrance and all that. And it was just a case of, right, this guy's big in the UK, we're doing more shows in the UK because WWE aren't, let's get him on board.
It's like the old sort of reality TV show concept anyway. I mean, you get a guy in there, you get them to go far. You know, they may not be the very best or the most qualified to win, but if they're a noticeable character, somebody that draws a reaction, whether they're loved or hated, you want to keep, as it from a TV point of view, you want to keep them on TV because then it'll bring in ratings. Yep. So maybe that was the angle they were going
with. I think they did with Grado, which was fine as well. I mean, they probably didn't know, they didn't think Grado was going to win it, but he got to the final six, didn't make it to the final three, which was kind of fine. He got his big angle at the Hydro with Al Snow, got the contract, everybody was happy, you know. But you look at some of the names as well, it was a mix of kind of, talking about, Ross, you talked about this before the show, and also Ellen the show, the people who got away type aspect of it, and you look at some of the names who didn't get very far in it, it was an opportunity miss for TNA, especially one of the examples obviously is Nikki Storm, now known as Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
It's a case of for some of them, those who got away.
It's the amount of people that, like, so Japan and WWE have scooped up, that at a time where TNA are in a rebuilding phase, where they're on, you know, Freeview TV in the UK, they really could make an impact in the industry, and WWE basically, without taking them away from the UK industry, basically signed up most of these guys and most of these girls as well. And the same way, you know, Stardom in Japan have basically got a deal, right, you can wrestle for your home promotions, but you know, WWE and TNA come call, don't go near them. And it's just another example of when TNA looked to be on the rise and then just fell short again.
Yeah, I mean, there was loads of situations like that. I mean, Nikki Storm kind of stopped this. She stood with me in that tournament, to be fair.
Well, you look at Nikki Storm, she's the best woman's character, I think, in NXT and WWE, just character-wise. And she's a great wrestler on top of that. You've got Kaylee Ray and Stardom. We talked about her, like, on Sami Jane, you know, flying for British wrestling in Japan on the women's side. And yet, they let them go. There's no much more you can say. It's literally, you'll read that list and go, you let that go, seriously, you let that go. It's beggars.
It was also kind of a mix as well of, they didn't take, TNA have obviously been known in the past for taking WWE talent and using them, but there was a couple of these guys on the competition that they didn't take on. Martin Stone, known as Danny Burch, of course, now.
Yeah.
And Joe Redman, who was also an inaugural NXT Tag Team Champion with Neville.
That's, you know, right, yeah.
So it was kind of that mix as well. I mean, I was obviously maybe just taking these guys on just because they weren't WWE, but then they realised they're not quite good enough.
TNA actually had one decent faction, which, funnily enough, was called British Invasion, and it featured Doug Williams, Rob Terry, and Magnus. So, who, fun fact, statistic of the day, Magnus, Mr. Nick Aldis, was actually Oblivion in the... in the revamped Sky One Gladiators.
I remember that. I remember. They used to get called BO or
BO. He was called BO.
He was called the Big O or something.
Big O, aye.
Yeah.
BO.
But oh, that was a terrible.
He was meant to be the new Wolf, as it were. I don't know if you remember 90s Gladiators. Yeah. Wolf was just like the man.
The evil guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think TNA's British Invasion stable was very good. It led to Magnus getting his TNA World Championship run. British World Champion in wrestling. I mean, we've been praying for that for quite a while, and we just, next step will be a Scottish World Champion.
Well, we did get that. NXT.
We got...
No, Drew.
Well, yeah, obviously. WWE or TNA, that's what I meant.
We've also had many Scottish World Champions.
Yes, of course, yes.
But obviously, we talk about... The WWE's got the UK division, but they've also got UK guys in about there. We talked about Mel on the show. The first is Sheamus, who's kinda UK. Obviously, Ireland. Although WWE probably wasn't the United Kingdom.
Yeah, Ireland, UK, kind of.
Just gone back.
I'll accept that.
Gone back to the British Invasion. We've talked before about WWE pigeonholing people in like 205 Live. They've done that with Doug Williams, who's a great technical wrestler. They pigeonholed him in the X division. Magnus, yeah, he did win the world title eventually, but it was after so many failed storylines. By that point, nobody cared. It was simple fact that when he won the world title, the big story in TNA was, you seriously, again, they let somebody go, you seriously let AJ Styles go. And the only one they really done anything with, because no one liked him, was Rob Terry.
Can I make a wee point here? Is it not interesting that in all the country stereotyping that they've done, you know, WWE have done some really bad stereotypes based on where someone's from. Yeah. So it's not interesting that the only UK stereotype they did was with a guy who wasn't even from the UK. So they made Roddy Roddy Piper, they were like, ah, oh, that's his name, and he comes out and he wears tartan and stuff, sorry. But then it's like, Drew Galloway, Nikki Cross, like none of these people do anything that's like, I'm Scottish by the way, and then he eats a haggis in the middle of the ring. They don't do any of that. But with Eddie Guerrero, he had his lowrider and all that stuff, you know, like, yeah. It's weird that they've not like had someone come out chugging Iron Brew and like slamming shortcake tins onto the ground. Like,
do you think Vince knows what Iron Brew is?
I don't think he
does.
Well,
can. He didn't, but there's a story that says he didn't know what burritos were, despite eating steak wraps every day. So when someone said a line that was like, how about we have this guy eat a burrito? And Vince is like, what's a burrito? And they went, are you kidding? And he went, no one's going to know what a burrito is. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Why
doesn't Nikki Cross just carry a bottle of Buckfast with her and just take a slug of it and she goes all crazy at the ring?
You see them do Buckfast and some Tunks tea cakes.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, if you can get away with lean, you can get away with Buckfast.
or the very least,
the cups are empty, so it's always implied.
It's always a black bottle.
But this is the UK guy. Drew's the one guy kind of talked about, obviously, the NXT champion. From the past, obviously doing well in the main roster with Wade Barrett a couple of years ago as well.
Mm-hmm. Wade Barrett.
You
got some bad news.
He could have been so much more.
Oh, he had the most potential to be WWE's first British-born world champion, but they let him go.
There were plans for him, and then again, like it always happens. They soured on him a bit.
He was injury prone as well, but
yeah. You could put in that stable, but I can't remember.
The League of Nations!
Yeah. Actually, no,
the most boring theme song ever.
He was the stable guy, you know, he had the Nexus, and he also had the core as well.
But you know, the League of Nations, what was it? It was Rusev, Sheamus,
Del Rio
and
Barrett.
Yeah. Sheamus has done pretty well for himself. Rusev's doing alright.
Rusev's got Rusev Day.
Yeah, but yeah, if they replaced Barrett with like Cesaro and then Del Rio with Jinder, you'd have like an all-star faction that'd be now.
Yeah, just add them in, have like a stable of six, you know, make them like the Bullet Club.
Oh god.
No.
Jinder Club.
But that's the thing, my main point was, they never really lean on these guys being from the UK. Mm. It's almost like for some reason they're seen as above that. They never make Pete Dunne come in and be like, I'm English.
Yeah, but there's the UK, you've got the UK division as well.
I think
they kind of feel separated a wee bit.
Yeah. I think as well though,
they don't let their nations sort of define their characters. I think that's what the approach they're trying to take.
Vince kind of has a thing, if they're an English speaking nation, they must be civilised. It's like, generally the thing I always think about with Vince McMahon is when he picks a foreign heel as the bit in Futurama. I'm not from here, I have my own customs.
Boom.
Look at this crazy passport. It is just like, because we know there is going to be so many people from the UK, but there has always been a good influx of UK wrestlers. They don't really feel the need now to do stereotypes.
But you talk a kind of, you got an idea about pigeonholing. I think for a while, we've talked in the past about pigeonholing of the cruiserweight divisions with 205 Live. You think for a while, they were kind of pigeonholing the UK division with Dunn, Bate, Seven, Wolfie, Andrews. You think they kind of pigeonholed them for a while until they started getting the likes of Adam Cole challenging, Roderick Strong. You think it was kind of pigeonholing that way for a while?
I think it was a kind of a slow build. Yeah, they sort of planted the seeds with a couple of noticeable names again, like Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, obviously being the big names coming out of last year's UK Championship tournament. But then obviously they get, like you said, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong challenging, gives them a bit of foundation to work with, and then they start bringing in more British guys. I think that's a good approach to take.
Yeah, I think they wanted to do something more with it, and it's hard when you've got a limited roster of UK guys. But, you know, it did seem like it's like we've got these five guys that just kind of have to fight each other for a while. But then, you know, they realised it's not a bad thing to have the title brought to the main scene, as it were.
I think they wanted just too much too fast. Yeah. Like, they wanted the cruiserweights, they wanted the British people, they wanted the women's division. Like, it was all just they wanted to take over the market. But it didn't really work once they finished, like the tournament finished, and then there was nothing for them. Like, guys had contracts, but again, it was the same matches all over again, and the same guys going for the title, and they just sort of left them to the side after that.
You could have threw in a bunch of guys, and like, some Norton Darr was on the roster, Jack Gallagher was on the roster.
Yeah.
He actually challenged for the title.
Yeah, he has actually challenged,
but that was again a wee bit longer in, that's after it came.
I actually think, see if you're like Triple H just talked about adding tag titles to 205 Live. If you're that set on a division that isn't selling in the United States, why not add the UK title as like a secondary title, like the US title, the Intercontinental title? Because a lot of these guys like Dunn, Bate, Trent Seven, I'm sure if he loses 10 pounds, he could fill it.
10?
Call it. Cruiserweight's meant to be 225, by the way. Call it 225, like.
That doesn't roll off the tongue.
It's not got the same ring to it. 205.
All right, call it Cruiserweight Mania then, or something like that. But, you know, like Jamie was saying, too much, too fast. If you can't build the 205 Live brand, and build the NXT brand, and build the UK brand, you can't have all these brands building at the same time and expect everyone to care. There's too much wrestling outside of WWE watch. Put two of them together. You've got talented guys on the UK roster, you've got talented guys in 205 Live.
You could make, why don't they just make the UK Championship like specifically for British promotions, and that encourages cross promotion and encourages matches, as it were?
I quite like the idea. Can't compare it to the US and the European title. They were never just on US guys or European guys. They went everywhere. So I think you've got a guy like Adam Cole challenging for the title. It adds prestige to it, you know. So they should pigeonhole it in the way with just that. It's not a bad idea they would have kind of defended the plate. We had it on
Shelton's party, Fatal 4-Way.
No, the last time. It was on a Garage show as well. I can't remember who it was.
Tyler Bate took on Kieran Kelly.
He's also fought someone else, I forget who it was. Do you know, that'd be an interesting way. You know how the hardcore title had the stipulation can be defended anytime, anywhere? The UK title, what if that came with the stipulation, the holder of this title must defend it at UK promotions as well? And it would give them an excuse to send other guys to the UK and get that marketing as well. But like, much like they've done with Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne coming over here and showing the belt off, what if it was on an American guy and they came over to Progress and ICW to defend it?
An interesting point, you could definitely get that booked. The next, all of us, we've got to talk about the future now. Obviously, we're talking about the last year's CT tournament. We're going to talk about it in an upcoming show, and I'll look back on it before the next one coming up. But we've got the future coming up. First of all, World of Sport. It's been revived. It's went down, and apparently it's getting re-revived with Noel Clark, I believe.
Noel Clark.
Yeah.
What? Expect great production if he's involved, because that guy's a creative genius.
Is there any longevity to it? I mean, no. You think there's going to be much to it?
I think it'll be like the Gladiators revival. You know, it's...
One season, no interest.
It'll last a couple of years at most, and then it'll just die down again.
I think as well, see when they brought it back last time, they were trying to do it as an alternative to WWE, but at the same time, it wasn't like the Japan or Ring of Honor alternative, but it was more hard-hitting. It was more the 70s and 80s style. It was dead.
It was very gimmicky. It was at Christmas time, which made it feel, you felt a bit feel good with it, you know. Vader won the belt, it beat Dave Mastiff, you know, it was all happy. The coffees were wearing face paint, you know, it was happy.
I think it was too overproduced though, like a lot of people tuned in because they remember the old days of it. And this was just like very bright set, very colourful, very like what you'd see on the Chiefs or something. And people just weren't invested in it.
Something as well, a lot of the British stars have got, well, Tom Hill have got name recognition. So you were tuning in to see their style of wrestling, and it was basically cut away from them. It was like, like we mentioned earlier, the tribute shows, let's copy everything WWE does, but let's do it a bit more current. It was sort of like that.
I reckon the reboot probably has some legs, especially as you were saying, with Noel Clark involved, they were saying that the main thing is that he's actually somebody very passionate about that project, and he'll add a lot of production value to it. But what I was wondering was, Is it just the wrestling part they're bringing back? They're not doing all of the World of Sport thing, are they? Is it just the wrestling section?
Just the wrestling.
Right, okay. I would maybe even change the name. I don't think the name has as much weight as it really used to. I would say if you just change that about a bit.
What, to
World of Sport brings you, or World of Wrestling, might be a lawsuit there somewhere, but, you know, or like World of Sport presents whatever wrestling, something like that. Make it seem like a brand rather than just, you know, like the old timey TV where it's like you can hear a tano and it's like, and now we bring you to dinner for a wrestling showcase. It's like, it seems old fashioned. World of Sport sounds really old.
I mean, you talk about brands, I mean, I think it's the appropriate time to talk about now. When most of the wrestlers were talking about the upcoming UK Championship tournament, obviously we've got 16 of the best, well, 16 superstars. Well, 15 of the best guys based in Britain. Andrew Gulak.
Oi. I think Vince is a Gulak.
I think Vince listens to the show and he's heard going, Gulak's from Clarkson?
Could you imagine Vince is sitting in his opulent mansion out in Stamford, Connecticut, and he's just like, God damn it, they're talking about Jinder and Drew Gulak again!
I mean, let's get talking about this. Dave.
Yep.
Are you going to be biased on Gulak winning this? Or who's your thoughts? Who do you see breaking out in this tournament?
No, to be honest, I think I'm not going to be biased towards Gulak, because there's a lot of very big names, like not just from
UK as a whole.
Don't say Flash Morgan Webster's along.
No.
That's a big name.
You've got a good mix of guys who are already on the main roster, and a couple of guys from our own turf of ICW. Like, specifically, we've got Joe Coffey and Kenny Williams representing the Ouija's.
Glass Ouija's.
Want to say that again?
Yeah. Glass Ouija's for our American listeners.
Yeah. You got Jordan Devlin as well coming in for the tournament as well, but also from the main roster you've got Gentleman Jack Gallagher and, as forementioned, Drew Gulak. So I think there's definitely something for everybody to. That's just to name a few. We've got other names such as Joseph Connors, Zach Gibson. You know they're going to be in it as well.
Yes, Dave, don't ruin all the names for everybody.
I said about half of them, you still got half of them.
Jamie, you've probably seen a lot of these guys wrestle, I think, from your time on the...
Yeah, surprisingly, actually. I'm not even just that, just going to shows. Like, you've got your family shows and the ICW shows, so there's a mix around there. Quite gutted, there's some folk that I did want, I think, deserve to be in it. But you never know what happens.
Name the top one. Who would you say is the top person that you wish? Who's missing? The one person?
Well, see, I'm biased though, right? Because I really prefer his style of wrestling, but I would love to see Mark Coffey in it.
Mark Coffey was a name that was thrown about, I think, from a fair few people. Obviously, especially when Joe's name came up on the first date, a lot of people were like, put the two of them together, especially because he's a tryout, you know. But any, of the 16 in there, I mean, what names kind of stand out to you?
Oh, only one. Soon to be recognised. Don't need you guys.
There's someone I'm sorry.
No.
I thought so. I didn't know you were French. Somebody I'm surprised hasn't been, because before the British, you know, explosion over here with the likes of ICW being really big and Progress being really big, Lionheart was always a big name. I'm surprised he's not been in either one of these two.
I thought when they did the storyline at the Barras, when he kind of walked out and kind of thanked everybody, I thought he's going to WWE.
Yeah.
And then
maybe they're just worried if he sees AJ, he'll flip out and attack him.
Well, he has fought AJ since then, so
no bad blood.
So is Zach Gibson's the one that stands out to you?
Oh, well, he's just, for the past couple of years, he's definitely been a favourite. Like, he doesn't even need to do anything and he's hated. Like, he comes out, says that in a ridiculous accent and everybody's booing him down the ramp, and just like from the Zero G title bit that he was in and everything he's been doing down in England promotions, like, I feel like he deserves the spotlight.
I mean, one interesting thing about him as well is he won the Davey Boy Smith Memorial Cup many moons ago. It feels like Wild Boar was in that tournament.
Something as well about, like you're saying, he doesn't have to do much, he just does it in his accent. When you hear him talk outside, he does have a Liverpudlian accent, obviously being from there, but he does the simple thing. Like Wild Michael always says, the best performers are themselves turned up to 100. They don't try to be something they're not. He's just a guy who's really good technically, and he can be really good at being unlikable, and he just turns his accent up, because obviously, when you're in the UK, the Liverpudlian accent's always one that gets kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
And he just turns that right up, just so it's like a screeching sound, and it's just like gone. It doesn't matter who he's fighting. You can go to the show and not know who he's fighting, you'd be like, I can't wait to see you get your head kicked in, and he's such a good heel.
Yeah. Ross, is there any names that really stand out to you as ones you think, I can see these guys winning it?
He won't win it, but I want him to win it, and it's Jack Gallagher, because I think he's brilliant. I think he's both as a heel and a face. He's a really, really good serious heel. And also as a face, he comes in with like the silly trunks and the umbrella under his arm and all that, and people always underestimate him. Like, his match with Neville at Fastlane in 2017, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some classic match with Joe Coffey. I mean, Iron Man match at Square Go many years ago. That was my first you ever saw in ICW?
Yes.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did.
Quacky, you know a lot of these names as well. I'll throw this out to you. Who really stands out to you in this tournament? There'll probably be a couple.
Okay, so stated the obvious for me, Joe Coffey. I'm a big fan of the Iron King, Iron Man. Another wee dark horse name that you could maybe mention is Ashton Smith, maybe.
I was very surprised to see Smith's name come up. I thought obviously he's teaming with Brown, Rampage Brown. I thought if any of the two of them was going to be Rampage.
Yeah, so you would think that, wouldn't you?
So for Ashton Smith's name to come out, it's big credit to the work he's doing.
Yeah.
The man can do an eye gouge. Oh my god, he looks so aggressive with it. But he's a good dark horse, I would say, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm.
James, what about in terms of who do you think could stand out in the crowd?
Well, I have to ask. The winner of this gets a shot at the belt, do they? Or do
The last 16 matches are going to be at the Download Festival.
Right.
And then the quarterfinals, semi-finals, finals will be on night one of the UK tournament. Right. And then night two, whoever wins the tournament gets a shot at Peter.
Right, okay. I think Joe Coffey.
You think Joe Coffey?
Yeah.
We know you're a big Joe Coffey fan. You have interviewed him in the past.
I think he's... When you look at all the guys that are in this tournament, then look at Joe Coffey. Apart from maybe Ashton Smith, he's very WWE looking as well. He's a strapping tank of a guy, and he's a good talker, and he can go, honest, he oozes charisma.
Yeah.
I don't know, I reckon he could win.
He's a very marketable, very talented, yeah. It's fair to say.
He could promote a match.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, he looks good in a suit as well.
I mean, man, ones I would kind of throw, I mean, it may be controversial talking about because he's technically not British, but he is based over here. Travis Banks.
Cheers, thanks.
I think he's one of the best top five in the UK.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely phenomenal. Even from his days in the Prestige with Joe Hendry.
I'm surprised he's not in it as well.
Joe Hendry? Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of other stuff going on.
Joe Hendry obviously is in Ring of Honor tomorrow night in Edinburgh. He's fighting for the television title. But still, like that's another one. Like you look at it. Poor Gulag, you know, he's just basically doing what he's told, but people are just like, what about him? What about him? Mm-hmm. What about him? And people are doing, Drew Gulag's just sitting there like, what have I done? I do think though, this UK tournament is very NXT based, obviously the first night you've got the British Strong Style, the Undisputed Era. I've got a feeling it will be Jamie's pick of Zach Gibson, and I've got a feeling in the UK title match it'll be the Undisputed Era that cost Pete Dunne title.
Oh, but then I have to stop watching NXT because there's a chance that Gibson might come on and go SHOOT!
Because he will be recognised.
He'll just say, I am.
I mean,
no longer.
Well, see, I mean, no longer. He wins the title and then his gimmick dies. Maybe I do want him to win this.
No, because he'll soon be recognised as the NXT champion.
Can I throw a name out there that I think?
No, sure.
Probably deserves it.
Right, that's you not on for the next month then.
Can I throw a name that I think probably deserves for his work on the UK scene to have a great showing at least in this tournament? El Ligero.
Yeah.
El Ligero, yeah.
They've announced the brackets. I've only seen one match, but they're just calling him Ligero.
Really?
Oh. No, like, the curse of the first name in WWE.
It's like the curse of the
second. Yes. Alexander and Adrian have left, and now El has left. He's just Ligero.
Well,
Ligero's fighting Travis Banks.
Defiant Wrestling or WCBW?
He's fighting Travis Banks in the first round. You could have told me that before I made that statement.
Defiant Wrestling or WCBW wouldn't have gotten very far without the matches that he and Martin Kirby put on, so he deserves a lot of props for his work in the UK scene, definitely.
To be fair, I think as well, Morgan Webster, he's fantastic. Every time I've seen him, like, I just want him to go far. But I know he was not going to win or anything, but he deserves to have some good
Never
matches.
Never know.
One that will make you very happy, Stevie. Kenny Williams is facing Dave Master.
Oh, my God, yes!
Yes! Oh, he's going to die!
Master's going to kill you. I love Dave, man. He's brilliant. I love to see him do well.
Can I just say, I like Kenny Williams. I don't know what your problem is. I like
I don't have a problem with him. It's
Kenny Williams is a very technically good wrestler. I have no problem with him in the ring. He's sold out. Jimmy, you tell us before the show, you've watched Amir John. You've seen a bit of him. Do you think he's a dark horse, or do you think?
It depends because, I know he's another one sort of like Grado. Like he comes out, does his dances and stuff like that. But when he gets in, he's got some really good stuff. But that also depends if he's allowed to do that stuff when he's there, will it be toned down.
I have seen Snapchat videos of him dancing to Punjabi MC.
It's
brilliant. It's actually great to see everyone just getting involved, and it looked like a really good barbie that was going down in the video.
I think I'm going to put you on the spot actually on this one. Apart from Dave, because Dave knows nothing about UK wrestling. Ross, you've kind of seen the bracket, so you've maybe got
a I've only seen two matches, man.
Who's going to be the final four in this tournament?
I think. Oh God, you put me in this one. We'll not put Dave in this one, but let's just put the Specky guy in this one. I'll go Gibson and Coffey in one semi-final, and Travis Banks, and you know what, seeing as Kwaku and Jamie have talked him up, Amir Jordan. Maybe put like the likeable dancing face against the hated Scouser.
Excellent. James, what's your thoughts?
Joe Coffey, Zach Gibson, Travis Banks, and Flash Morgan Webster probably.
It's going to be Gibson, Banks, and
it's
Coffey.
It's going to be Gibson, Banks, and Coffey. Like, it's one of them is going to win that.
See, we've not seen the bracket, sorry. So we're going to put this out there, and it's going to be like, these guys are all facing each other.
Coffey, Banks, Gibson, Gulak.
I was going to say that we're definitely going to put Gulak in there, but I'd rather change up Mastiff over Coffey.
So what, Gulak, Gibson, Banks, and Mastiff? Okay.
Interesting.
I would have said El Ligero, but now I know that he's going to be facing Travis Banks in the first round. I'll go with Banks, Coffey, Gibson, and Gallagher.
Ah.
I think that's interesting. Talk,
that's alright, just copy my first three eyes.
I mean, another quick one, obviously, we said that if you had to put one guy in there who wasn't in there, who would it be? You've already done yours, Jamie. Kwaku. Again, I'm not going to ask Dave.
I'm torn between Lionheart and BT Gun, but I'll go with Lionheart.
James?
Oh man, this is hard.
Surely Mikey Whiplash.
I was going to say, I really do want to see Mikey Whiplash back in a WWE thing. Yeah, probably Mikey Whiplash.
Oh.
You see, if you've ever seen any of his family friendly work, he's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
He's a really, really great wrestler. So yeah, Mikey Whiplash.
Ross.
Jimmy Havoc. Forget that Ross said Jimmy Havoc. That was definitely Stevie's idea. I'll go Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry's a really really creative heel, really creative face. He can work either or. He's also a really good wrestler for the fact that he's only been wrestling for what, 5 years?
Yeah,
he's not wrestled long. He's not been wrestling long. And, you know, if he goes to NXT, you know, under the likes of, you know, Triple H, what we Robert Brooks side we mentioned earlier, I think he could flourish to be
Johnny Moss as well,
a top WWE heel or face.
Before we finish, have we got anything else we want to say about the UK wrestling scene as a whole?
I love it. That's pretty much it.
Dave? Of course nothing, Dave.
Well, to anyone who hasn't actually been to a UK show yet, I don't know how likely that is to our listeners, but anyone who's not gone to one, I would recommend going to any of them that you can.
Second of June. PBW is back.
Yes.
Can't remember where, but it's on the website.
What's here somewhere?
Somewhere not Glasgow.
Source also have shows going on as well, quite regularly as well. You know.
Sorry, I've got the first round matches. Our host for next week's All Women show, Sarah Grieve, has came through for us. We'll get Ashton Smith, Joseph Connors, Flash Morgan Webster versus James Drake, Kenny Williams, Dave Mastiff, El Ligero, Travis Banks, Zach Gibson, Amir Jordan, Tucker.
that was a natural one.
Tucker v. Joe Coffey, Jordan Devlin, Tyson T-Bone, and Drew Gulak, Jack Gallagher. And apparently, Drew Gulak and Jack Gallagher has already been done. I was going to say, I'm not going to say spoiler here.
Steve. It's already happened!
Gulag and Gallagher has happened at an NXT taping and Gallagher won.
Taping spoilers, that's legitimate spoilers, we're going to have to cut that.
Yeah, we can cut that.
That's taping spoilers.
Oh, who cares?
Who cares? Right.
Well, that's why there
we'll
was a...
We'll put spoilers.
We all thought that was going to happen.
Something I was going to say about like checking out the British scene is, a lot of times I've seen like Wrestling News Observer and Dave Meltzer like tweeting a lot like, has anyone got any results from these UK promotions and stuff like that? And it always just strikes me, why don't one of them just come over and actually take it in for themselves? If these people have such huge following in wrestling, and yet it strikes me they've not come over or like just taken it in for themselves.
Something as well, like you see PWG, they always have very like small venues with lots of people crammed in to make a bigger atmosphere. Ring of Honor is a lot of older people, there's not as many kids there. Not just saying it because we're in Scotland, it is tame compared to the Scottish crowds. I'm sorry, it just is. It's the British crowds are louder because we don't get as much wrestling even though we've had this this explosion. We don't get as much wrestling, so we're more into it and we make a night out of it.
Yeah.
If he thinks PWG and Ring of Honor could create atmosphere, what would he think of the likes of ICW or Progress, which is kind of like a punk promotion sort of thing?
Yeah. You see, there's so much to love with the UK. See, and as we said, if you've not been to a show, we would recommend you go to the show. And on that note, that is the end of our British Invasion show. We've covered pretty much everything UK based. If we've not, please tell us off on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Suplex Retweet. Right, coming up in the coming weeks on Suplex Retweet, next week it's happening. We have got the All Women Show, which Jamie will be on.
Historic woman show.
Historic! She's all women!
Me and Ross have an agreement that we're not going to say
yes,
that. So you said it, so you're okay.
I made Dave not say it, and then I also said to Sarah, I do apologise, we will promote your show with the respect it deserves, and then one of the panellists just puts all examples.
No, it's going to be a good show. It's the first time I've ever done it here. I don't think it's ever been done. I don't know if it's ever been done on another podcast, but it should be good. Also in the coming weeks, we've got a look back at last year's UK tournament, so that's an interesting look on it. We then got the live debuts of Ross McLeod, so we'll be talking all things Money in the Bank.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a pod of two and a half, so we're going to be doing the first half, talk about the history of Money in the Bank, and our favourite cash-ins, our favourite moments of the actual pay-per-view, outside of Jamie's whisper of Dolph Ziggler, so she might be on the pod. Well, pretend you didn't hear that. And the second half will just be a preview of the 2018 show. And then the week later, we'll be doing a full review of the 2018 Money in the Bank. We'll also, on Anchor, Kwaku's assembling the Dream Team for another another NXT preview.
Yep. This is Ross also trying to slide into that one. He's not on that Dream Team.
Yeah.
Always sliding into the DMs, Quacker. Keep an eye open.
Yeah, so we've got so much coming up here at Suplex Retweet, so please follow us on all our social media accounts, people will inform me what's going on. We're also hoping to do some interviews in the coming future, so stay tuned. Yeah. But from the team here at Suplex Retweet, I'd like to thank Ross, James, Quacker, David and Jamie for joining me, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I've been Stephen Wilson, and we'll hear from you next week. So until then, goodbye.
Listen, cunts, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing, whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of dick tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.